For any new friends that's joining us for the first time, you may ask the question directly by raising your hand, or you may submit them to me via chat anonymously. I haven't received a question yet, Bante. I'll let you know when I do.
Yeah, sure. So now everybody understood, so there can't be any questions. So Jennifer, you understood everything?
I think I am at the level of I understand the words, Bante, that you are saying. I still need to personally experience a lot of what you are saying.
Right.
So that's still on the path.
Good, good. So you have to understand the content now.
Yes.
Good, good.
Don't step one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Chika Devi, you may unmute and ask your question.
Thank you. Bante, my question really is that these bodily parts, as students, we actually did anatomy, but not everybody has actually cut open the body and seen all those parts, so they have to imagine, Bante. So isn't that not a very practical thing to be, because people have to imagine all these things, the skin and the kidneys and the fat and the muscles and all those things, blood and fat and all that, if you haven't actually, I mean, some things, yes, nails and teeth and skin you can see, and the body and head hair. But then apart from that, it's all kind of imagination, Bante. So can you comment on that? Thank you.
Yeah. Actually, now we can understand, even during the good old days, there seems to have some understanding about these bodily parts. Now, as you said, this seems to be fairly familiar. It is not that we are trying to go some deep anatomical analysis. Rather, outside, suppose that's why it is starting with the most evident parts like head hair, body hair, skin, teeth, nails. So these actually we can see. But slowly then one can penetrate. And it is not that you are nowadays we can use various mechanisms, like you can see an anatomy book, a magazine, or even a video showing all these different parts, and you know them, and that actually helps. And on the other hand, so as your concentration develops, and there is a possibility that you can even see them. So that is, in a way, some deep concentration is required for such kind of a scene, where this concentration helps to see the inside of the body and to see those parts. So there are various even meditation techniques used for that, and certain schools practice like that. But on the other hand, typically, most of the people have seen them maybe using a corpse. If they have been to a mortuary or to a, say, operating theater, most of the people, they seems to have kind of an understanding about these bodily parts. So that could be the reason that Buddha has given these 32. And there are so many parts available in the body. So this 32 does not mean that we only have 32, but the most prominent 32 has given. Now, if you are familiar with various other parts, that's also can be included. And again, if you are not familiar with certain parts, that can be excluded. So that the idea is to have some understanding about various bodily parts and to contemplate about them, so that you may remove the lust, remove conceit, remove the compactness view. So that is the idea. So as you said, so for the people who doesn't have any kind of an understanding about bodily parts, it could be difficult. Yes.
That's but also, as you said, now you can have these three-dimensional views. So I suppose people, if they really want to, can see those designs, because
yes.
You can see these three-dimensional views of the body, I presume. So that is another way people want to. I suppose they can, Bhante. Isn't that right?
Correct. Definitely. Because, I mean, as I said, I mean, if you have some knowledge about these parts, that could be the kind of sutame jnana, the heard knowledge. Now here we are trying to sort of internalize that knowledge. So whenever our mind become deluded, so we are using that knowledge as a meditation practice in order to recognize one after the other, one part after the other, so that the mind again become neutral. So our mind again become pure, free from lust. And similarly free from conceit, and again free from compactness view.
Yes, I understand, Bhante. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Does the practice of Kaya Nupassana essentially, can that be as effective as this contemplation of the 32 parts of the body and removing lust?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
So if we can know the element characteristics
mm-hmm.
of the body.
Yeah.
Use that, essentially that's Kaya Nupassana.
Yes.
Is that as effective as this 32 parts contemplation and removing lust?
Yeah, I mean, so actually sometimes we can say like this, practical point of view, you can actually practice either 32 parts, either say element characteristics or both. Say for example, suppose your mind is lustful. Now you start practicing 32 parts and now mind become neutral. Now since the mind is now restrained and in a neutral position and quite being with the body, now easily one can understand the element characteristics. And now you are going deeper and the element characteristics are visible. Now, as a result, so you can say, depends on the circumstance, you can use any of these techniques. And if you are quite familiar with the element characteristics, you can immediately go to see element characteristics and assume that even you are familiar with, assume that at the moment your mind is lustful. So immediately practicing element characteristics could even be difficult because one has to have good command of it in order to remove lust. But at the beginner's level, so element characteristics are not yet evident and your mindfulness is also not developed and the hindrances are quite powerful. So as a result, it is not easy to remove lust. On such situation, this kind of 32 parts practice would be quite beneficial. So basically, it depends on the circumstance. So say for example, if a yogi's life, so in the first period, probably one may utilize 32 parts. Then mind become fairly free from lust. Then he is continuing element characteristics. Now after a certain amount of time, then mind is less with lust. So you can even handle lust and you can even be mindful about lust. So now lust may not overwhelm you. On such situation, you don't need 32 parts practice at all. You can immediately go to element characteristics. And even not even Kaya Nupassana, you can even go to Chitta Nupassana. So likewise, so depending on the circumstance, we have to use this technique.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
And for the next question, I'd like to invite Kumudini to please ask your question directly.
Bhante, my question is, you were talking about the Siva and Samadhi and Panya. In this case, did you mean Samadhi as in Jhana?
No.
Or Vipassana Samadhi?
Yeah, actually not about Jhana. So in Vipassana,
yes.
Vipassana, what we require is the sort of clarity of mind. You can understand various defilements available in the mind. And again, once you need to practice Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana, you need certain amount of focused attention, that the mind is not distracted. It does not jump to this and that. suppose you want to focus on a feeling, it may be a painful feeling. So you have to maintain that focus for quite a long time in order to understand that feeling. So such kind of concentration is required, but not jhana.
Not jhana.
Not jhana, yes.
Now this practice, Bhante, I have been reading some books from Ajahn Brahmavan. So he says that you have to give jhana in order to liberate. Is that your understanding too?
No. Basically, jhana is not an essential thing. So these are different, one can say different beliefs in various schools. There are certain schools says, okay, jhana is a must. One has to have jhana to practice vipassana. But many other schools say it is not necessary. It is necessary to have a certain amount of concentration, but not to the level of jhana. And even one has jhanic concentration, if you want to practice vipassana, you have to emerge from jhana. While being in the jhana, you can't practice vipassana. Rather, you have to emerge from jhana and then you have to practice vipassana. Now, say for example, if you consider Sayado U Pandita, Sayado U Jyotika, Mahasi Sayado. So likewise, prominent vipassana teachers, actually they say, jhana is not a must. And even Achan Cha, Ajahn Sumedho, and there are so many teachers who basically does not say that jhana is a must, and you can practice vipassana with what you call the neighborhood concentration. There are levels of concentration, what we call the first one has the neighborhood concentration, upachara samadhi, and then one reaches this jhana, appana samadhi, and the upachara samadhi is quite enough to practice or to begin vipassana.
Bhante, my confusion in understanding this is because Ajahn Cha is Ajahn Brahmavamsa's teacher.
Yes, and yes.
He claims that jhana is necessary, but I am, in my own experience, I have practiced Goenka's vipassana. And I have reached through that a certain type of jhana type of state.
Exactly. That is possible.
So what is that?
That's what I am telling. Now, through vipassana practice, also you get more higher concentrations. Even that is surpassing the jhanic concentration. So, therefore, that is why I am telling now, in order to begin vipassana, jhana is not a must. So you need to have a certain amount of concentration, true, but it is not up to the level of jhana. And once you are developing vipassana, the vipassana itself develop another types of various other samadhis. So that's called, say, sunyata samadhi, appanihita samadhi, animitta samadhi. The sunyata is the emptiness concentration, appanita is the desireless concentration, animitta samadhi is the signless concentration. So likewise, there are various types of concentrations related to the vipassana as well. And before that, actually, when you are observing any sort of a phenomena, you have the kanika samadhi, what you call the instantaneous concentration. So instantly you have to have concentration there, then and there. So likewise, the vipassana practice has its own domain and it has its many other types of concentrations, and actually those are even surpassing the samatha concentrations. And again, on the other hand, they even merge. Say for example, you start with some amount of concentration and suppose you develop vipassana, practice satipatthana, and you even can end up with arupa jhana. These are fairly interconnected. One has to use very beautifully. Now, if you refer Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya, so Buddha very clearly says how one's gradual practice, in vipassana, and ultimately even leads, or one will lands on the arupavachara jhana, that one has to use as a kind of a foundation in order to uproot various subtle defilements. So one may apply various vipassana techniques to uproot various defilements, but the foundation, the basic level, the fundamental level becomes sort of a fairly equal to arupa jhana.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you very much.
Yeah, welcome.
So next question, Bhante, by listening to Dhamma, we get a superficial understanding of the unsatisfactoriness of body. Is it the case that we need to practice this meditation for a long time in order to overcome lust that arises in our mind?
Actually, by reading books, listening to Dhamma, we can get some understanding. As you said, it is in the superficial level. And now, that is not enough. So that does not actually last for a long time. I mean, till that is remaining in the mind, for some time, your mind can become free from lust or free from any other defilement. But as that memory goes away, that is quite quickly happens, and again mind get defiled. But on the other hand, one becomes a practice meditation, vipassana meditation, so that is actually going more deeper and is able to sort of arouse wisdom, arouse concentration. And that actually makes a kind of a permanent change in the mind, irreversible change in the mind. So that is where we can be a sort of confident that the now mind may not completely collapse to the previous stages. Rather, now there are certain irreversible levels in the one's practice. So till that, one is in a way kind of unsafe. One can always drop down to the zero level if one does not practice. Yeah. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Bhante. And the next question, can you please explain Nama Rupa Paricheda Chana, seeing Nama Rupa separately?
Yeah. Say for example, we'll take one simple example. Say you are practicing walking meditation. So there are, suppose you are starting with left, right, or lifting, moving, pacing, so likewise. And then you are able to tame the mind. You are able to concentrate the mind. Now, suppose you have stopped that kind of labeling, that kind of a noting, and you are able to maintain continuous mindfulness. Fairly the mind is focused. Now you can recognize various element characteristics. When your foot is lifting, so you can understand so many movements, and similarly when you are moving forward, sort of so many movements, and again sort of heaviness, and again when you are placing, so many movements, and you are keeping it on the ground, so many other sensations. Say for example, hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness, lightness. So likewise, these are all called rupa. These are all element characteristics, elements in a way. Now, so how you know it? So this knowing mind is the nama. So all these element characteristics come under the rupa kammatthana, or the rupa khanda, the material aggregate, that is the rupa. And how you know this rupa, how you know these various element characteristics? So that is the knowing part. So that knowing part belongs to the nama, the mental aspect. So now you can distinctly know there are various element characteristics that actually belongs to the material aggregate, and there is a knowing aspect, so that actually belongs to the mental aspect or the mental aggregates. Now you can distinctly know this. Now you have this nama rupa paricheda jnana. So basically, this is a very, in a way, very early level of understanding, kind of an insight may available for a vipassana yogi, where one is able to clearly recognize an object and the knowing mind. There's a recognition happens. So this recognition is in the mental aspect, mental side, and the subject is actually the object is actually the rupa. So if one is able to clearly know this as a separate two things, then one say, okay, this is the Nama Rupa Paricheda Jnana. So this is actually later development into the Vipassana, and Buddha has never called about such kind of an insight. But anyway, we can say it is a kind of a valid recognition where one can understand there's a knowing part that belongs to the mind, and then the other side, that is the elements. Yeah.
It is.
Go ahead.
It is a step in the path, though, isn't it? An early step in the path.
Yeah, true.
Progress.
Yes, because typically our mind is deluded. I mean, we don't do that kind of an analysis or this kind of a proper understanding. We typically being carried away by the object. Suppose you are looking at a sight. So immediately your mind being attracted to that, you being now proliferating on that. But how to disengage from this experience, how to have a distance observation. So this is where the Nama Rupa Paricheda Jnana is quite useful, where you are able to see the sight as a sight and the knowing mind as a knowing mind. So you have a kind of a disengage observation.
And then the Bhanga Jnana also comes?
No, no. Bhanga Jnana is fairly far away one.
Okay,
and then I believe this may be the last question.
Okay.
I'd like to invite Indira to please ask the question directly.
Yeah, seems to have a technical problem there.
Yeah, I can hear some echo, but I can't actually hear you, Indira, sorry. You can also send your question via the chat if that's easier.
Jennifer, can I just add in something, please?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Thank you. One day about this jnana that you were talking about, the Nama Rupa Paricheda Jnana.
Jnana, yes.
Yes, that is at the very early stages. Did I understand that correctly?
Exactly.
Where you,
yes.
And the Bhanga is when you go more deeper.
Yes, that's right.
So, because actually, after you if you are a regular meditator, this Nama Rupa Parichedana Jnana, it comes quite easily, isn't it? But
yes,
it's quite early stages.
Yes. That's why, I mean, there are actually, say for example, during the Buddha's time, I mean, there are no that kind of series of jnanas mentioned in the books. So they have mentioned only couple of very evident jnana, evident vipassana knowledges, and especially the seven types of purification, visuddhi. And then later, with the sort of... after the passing away of the Buddha, now people are thinking in this way, that way. Now they come up with 9 vipassana knowledges, 10 vipassana knowledges, 16 vipassana knowledges, 18 vipassana knowledges. So likewise, now the system has fairly complicated. So there are this Nama Rupa Paricheda Jnana is at the very early stages, and it is being introduced after the passing away of the Buddha.
And just one thing, I just want to add, Bhante Lokuhamdro, he has said in the retreat situation that Mahase Sayadaw, he talks about Vipassana Jhana. So the lady earlier was talking about those things, so I just thought I'll add that, Bhante, that's what I have been taught in me.
Right. So yes, so Vipassana Jhana is another thing that actually introduced recently by Sayadaw Pandita, where one can sort of have a kind of a analogy between the vipassana levels and the samatha jhana. Say for example, when you are able to fairly concentrate on a particular phenomenon, so there you have to apply your mind again and again to the phenomenon, so the vitakka is available. And further, you are closely examining that phenomena. So therefore, the vichara is available. And once you are succeeding, there's a kind of a rupture, sort of a happiness, because your effort being successful. Now the rupture is also available. And once you are doing it quite well, so kind of a happiness, kind of a sort of comfort, sukha is also available, and your mind is well concentrated, and the ekaggata is also available. So if you consider the jhana factor, vitakka vichara piti sukha ekaggata, so you can really well found in the vipassana practice as well. So therefore we can say this is the first vipassana jhana. And then say you are going to the arising and passing away level of knowledge. So then you can again find kind of an analogy between that and the say second jhana or third jhana, like that. So there you can understand, so based on the jhana factors and what are the available vipassana characteristics, you can have a kind of an analogy. So therefore Sayadaw Pandita has come up with such kind of a criterion that okay, there are four vipassana jhanas, and they are quite some level quite similar to first jhana, another level belong similar to second jhana, another level belongs to third jhana, and then another level belongs to fourth jhana. So likewise he has listed this in the in this very life in his book. So no one has sort of argued in that. Actually we can say it is true, because the when we consider the jhana factors, so that also are, so we can say it is available. Yes,
because in my, I don't know, Bhante, I feel that I have an overlap. I don't know, because I think in some, in the samadhi, when you get the samadhi, you get all these the color and all that. I don't think you are supposed to get it in the vipassana. Is that right,
Bhante? Yes, correct. So
you
actually,
know, all this color.
Yeah, colors and all are sort of still in the what you call premature level. Say if you, if one wants to get absorbed to anapanasati during, suppose one is developing concentration, the jhana using anapanasati. So when one is developing anapanasati, the anapanasati sign has to appear. At the early stages it could be sort of kind of different colored, but later that light become typically mostly maybe white or transparent, and that is where you have a fairly high concentrated level of concentration. So that is more possible of absorbing, maybe possible. Yeah,
because so, at that stage Bhante, I go into the vipassana, so it's like a mixture for me. It's a mixture for me.
Yeah,
I don't know whether I'm doing it correctly, but I think that because we want to develop wisdom, and when we have limited time, especially not in retreats, but when we are in the home, it's for me, I feel that we should go along at some stage, interrupt that and go into the vipassana.
Correct.
Bhante.
Correct. So I agree with you, because I mean,
yes,
absorbing or some of the concentrations fairly is deep, and that deep concentrations actually blocks the sort of knowing part, because you can even avoid arising of various defilements because of this deep concentration. But on the other hand, in the vipassana practice, we need some amount of raw material for the practice. And
yes,
as I said, again, having necessary amount of concentration is enough. No need to go and spend long time in the deep concentration, and it's a waste of time, as you said. So therefore, so we can understand that the concentration is developing, as you said, because of the appearance of these various lights and various signs. And so once you know that, so you are confident, okay, now the necessary amount of concentration is available. Now you can switch to the observation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Bhante. So the question that I received from Indira is, when a person is diagnosed with a terminal illness like cancer, how can this Patikula Manasikara help?
Oh, I think they are using the Patikula aspect. The loathsomeness aspect may further depress him. So I don't recommend this kind of practice for such person. Because now if he's already sort of in a down mind, sort of a depressed mind, so using this kind of practice will further makes him collapse, make him further depressed. So instead of that, he better go for another type of practice, say using sort of trying to arouse some energy, sort of positive aspect, positive atmosphere in the mind, and even to the feeling, even to the Vedanapasana is fine. I mean, there you are using various pains available in the body, but being in a neutral mindset, and you are developing Vipassana, true, but in the Vedanapasana level, not looking at it in a loathsome way, but rather in a more actual way, more realistic way. So that may be better, rather than using the loathsomeness of the body that might lead sort of a depression.
Thank you, Bente. What about something like the Brahma Vihara practice?
Yeah, that's also true. That's right. So one has to develop some positive atmosphere in the mind. So Brahma Vihara practices, Buddha Anusati, so that you get some positive feeling in yourself. So rather than trying to further become negative, you make sort of mind little happy and uplifted. So then you can go deeper. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Bente. That is all for all of the questions today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your teachings.
Sure. So thank you very much for the participation. Then we'll wind up the session by sharing the merits in the typical traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sambe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු සාසනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මම් පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා සාදු සාදු සාදු